You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hello, I'm Will.
And I'm JC. And you are listening to Dude.
What's going on, you little duties?
How are you guys doing? Week number three or two of the new year?
Man.
It's still the first week. Oh, my God. How am I just out of sorts already?
I don't think we're going to make it. I'm not going to lie.
It's going to be, you know what, though? Here's what I will say. 2023 was just a beep of a year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
2024 was less of that. So 2025, if we're in a progression here, shouldn't be that bad.
Well, I kind of always perpetually think we're not going to make it at the beginning of every year. And then, much like a good film, I'm always just pleasantly surprised at the fact that we pull it out every single time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like we somehow figure out, hey, don't cut that cord, you know, otherwise it's going to explode. Or, you know, you figure out the weakness of the Death Star, or you figure out that Ewok is very, very pent up and has to let go of some of that aggression, and maybe it's on Al Roker's leg.
Mm-hmm. That's the spirit.
Yep, exactly. You were commenting earlier before we started about my cool band tee.
Yeah, JC is wearing a t-shirt with a big mouth that has some little drumsticks over, and it says Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Yes, and I was asking Will if he was familiar with this band, and
I am. I didn't know that was their name, but...
And it happens. I can hear your children screaming, by the way.
It's bedtime right now, and they're going crazy.
Ah! My we'll get back to Electric Teeth here in a minute, or Dr. Teeth, excuse me, not Electric Teeth. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. It's very easy to get confused. But my son finally can, like, he's starting to talk more clearly. And yeah, it's the bedtime now. And also, he's just getting over his illness. So it literally sounds like he's like slipping into the quicksand, his hands going down, daddy, daddy, daddy. And you're just like, it's so hard not to be like, oh, God. But then you're like, dude, we can't do this every single night, man. Not every night.
That empathy goes away after kid number two, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, you're just
like, just go to bed. Yeah.
You'll live. Pull them into the bed like a sack of potatoes. Slam the door.
Speaking of two-year-olds, my two-year-old, Rowdy, we had some friends over during the New Year's. They were in town, so they came over. And Rowdy was just in a super hyper mood. He was feeling rowdy. And he started running around the house going, butt cheek, butt cheek, butt cheek, butt cheek. And it's like, I mean, that's what happens when you have an older brother who's really into like potty humor right now. So that happened. That's a new word in his repertoire right now. Butt cheek, butt cheek, butt cheek. And the thing is, like, it's not like you can mistake it for anything else. Like, he's got clear diction on it. It's like butt cheek, butt cheek, butt cheek.
What else would he be saying too? It's like,
We've been teaching him the language of the Slavic nations, and right now he is saying, I will be a doctor someday.
That's what he's just declaring it. He is so proud of the fact he's already picked out a medical school. He's very excited. He's looked at Cornell. He's very excited. He's done a lot of research, and he just wants to tell you he's going to be a doctor. This is the Muppet Band, and... Dude, the real ones know. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I liked about shirts like this. It's a deep cut. Like, you wear this shirt out.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, someone's going to be like,
Yeah. Give you a little wink. Yeah,
man. Like, you're a Muppet guy. And I'm like, I am a Muppet guy. You're right. I do love the Muppets. Like, I kind of grin a little bit, like, when I'm about to wear it. I'm like, someone's going to get this shirt, and it's going to make their day. And then, like, I'm very disappointed when, like, I go the entire day. I'm, like, proudly, like, wearing it the entire day, and, like, no one acknowledges that I exist. They're just looking at their phone. They don't care about the cool, deep-cut Muppet band shirt I'm wearing. You know? It's a shame.
Yeah. That is a bummer.
You ever do that? Where you get really jazzed up about, like, either, like, I don't know, like, that, or, like, you put a bumper sticker on the back of your car, or, like, there's something you're just like, someone's really gonna appreciate this.
You know what? You know what really bums me out? This is kind of the same thing, but as you all probably know, if you watch the YouTube, I'm a Milwaukee Brewers fan. It's kind of the one guilty pleasure I give myself is just being able to watch Milwaukee Brewers, and kind of, it's my thing, right? And, you know, when I live in Oklahoma, so whenever I see someone with a Brewers, it happens like once a year, I'll see someone with Brewers swag on, and I would always wear a Brewers hat. And so I'm always hoping, like, we're going to have this conversation, and it has not happened yet. And usually they're kind of like, yeah, you know, it's just a cool hat, or like, oh, I have an uncle who lives there. It's like, oh, God.
Dude, that's so funny you say that, because, like, I, like, borderline harass anybody who's up here that has Oklahoma State gear. It just happened on a plane 2 weeks ago. I saw a guy on the plane wearing Oklahoma State from Philly. Like, he was leaving Philly. So I'm like, that's kind of rare. Like, I'd get it if I was, like, a Dallas flight or, like, going to Oklahoma. Like, that's not a big deal. But, like, this guy was, like, on the Philly airport or airplane going to Orlando. He had Oklahoma State gear on. There's actually, like, multiple people. It's really weird. I saw multiple people with it. I make eye contact as I'm, like, walking down the aisle to, like, go get my seat. Like, I, like, purposely, like, I'm sure he's, like, thinking I'm a weirdo because I'm, like, looking at him. And I'm, like, and I look at him. He looks up at me. I go, go Pokes. I give him the little gun, you know, like, go Pokes. And he's, like, he, like, makes a weird face at me. I'm, like, gosh dang it. Like, it's probably, like, a shirt he got, like, a lost and found or something like that. He's, like, this person's making threatening hand gestures at me.
This man said he was going to poke me.
It looked like a finger gun. Dude, I think he has a finger gun on the plane.
One time I was at a gym in Milwaukee when I was living there, and there was a girl there who was probably in her 20s, and she was wearing a TU shirt, Tulsa University, which it's not... I mean, it's not a very big college.
No, it's a tiny college. It's very unusual.
Yeah. And so I said, hey, you're wearing a TU shirt. I'm from Tulsa. And she was just like, yeah, cool. I'm like, yeah. I was kind of hoping to be like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I go to school there, blah, blah. It was just because she was just kind of like.
That's the part of the conversation where you explain to me why you have this shirt. That's how that works. This is how this works. How it works is, like, I tell you a fun nugget about, like, how I know what your shirt means, and then you explain to me, this is just society, this is how society should work. Right. Then you explain to me, oh, in fact, this is why I have that shirt, and then you guys have a fun little thing, right. And that's your fun little thing for the day, because life is a beating, and if we don't get those, what do you get? So you're hoping in your head, like, that'll be nice. I'll learn something about, you know, this woman that I never knew, and we have something in common, and it'll be exciting for her, exciting for me, and we'll just go on our way.
How am I not supposed to say something? Like,
and if you don't say something, you think about it all day. That happens to me all the time. Like, if something like that, I'm, like, sitting there, I'm, like, thinking about it. I'm, like, man, I should have just said something. Why didn't I say something to him? Like, what, you know, and... I don't know, man. I feel like the two best are, like, the gym always has weird, funny interactions, and the grocery store. The grocery store has unbelievable interactions as well.
One time at the gym, I was doing push-ups, and this older gentleman came up to me and said, "Your form is fantastic," and just walked away. And I was like, I don't know why, but I was so flattered. I was like, you know what? I do have good. I do have good form for my with my push-ups. You know what? We should be doing that more often. Go to the gym. Go to the gym and compliment neck duties. When you're at the gym, go up to someone and just go, your form looks really good.
What else is going on with you, dude?
Some people who are born with the name Richard are called Dick. I know two people who are born as Richards and then go by Dick. What I want to know is how? Am I missing something here? I mean, listen, my dad is Robert, and he goes by Bob. And that one is, you can maybe see how someone kind of slipped up and they said, what's your name? Rob. Oh, Bob? Okay, he's Bob. But with Richard, you say, I'm going to go by Dick. There's no correlation.
I don't know how they did it. And I also wonder, so you said you know two Dicks?
I know two Dicks.
So, that was not a joke, by the way.
I really know two Dicks.
How, because there's another good question.
One is my dad's cousin, and one is my dad's really good friend.
Yeah, there's nobody under 50 that goes by Dick, right?
That's a good point, JC. I've never met a Dick my age.
I'm just saying, at some point, it meandered from a classy name to a dirty, dirty thing. And I don't know at what point that was.
It is kind of funny. Like, you know, my name is Bartholomew, but people call me Balls. There's no correlation there.
Do you think that, like, Richard Nixon influenced it in some way? Because they called him Tricky Dick, right? That was his nickname.
Was Tricky Dick?
Yeah, his nickname was Tricky Dick. Are you looking at the Tricky Dick?
Yeah, you're right.
Be very careful when you put that in your search bar.
Well, Tricky Dick is the name of a documentary.
That's not a documentary, sir. That's something else. That was his nickname. And I wonder, like, he was just such a disliked president. You know, I wonder if that stuck with him and it then had a negative connotation associated with it. I wonder if he was the one who really solidified it. Because, again, something happened, and it had to have happened in, like, between, like, so when was your dad born? Like, what, 64?
60.
Oh, 60. So, yeah, I feel like at some point in the 70s, between the 70s and early 80s, it completely fell out of vogue.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of names. Like, my dad's name is Bob. You never meet a Bob our age and younger. You've never met a Bob.
Yeah, there has to be some origin or something, because there's in no way, shape, or form. You're right. That'd be like my name is Daniel, and I go by Babu.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why there's no. But the weird thing is, other people are like, oh, that works, but it doesn't make any sense.
No,
like,
it doesn't make any sense.
I don't. Yeah, that is one of the strange ones.
If we have any dudes who are Dicks, write in at thedudepod.com or go to thedudepod.com, hit the contact form, write in, tell us how you feel about being a Dick/Richard. Do you like being called Dick? Would you prefer to be called Richard? Why aren't you called Rich? We want answers.
I mean, I'll tell you, it's a name that if you were to own it and, like, rock it and just, like, rock it, man, like, you could be something.
That's true.
You know?
Hey, we knew a guy in high school. His last name was Cock. And, you know, he could have been bashful about it. But I've never seen a man own something more in my life. Like, he was not ashamed of it.
My one of my favorite memories of all time was actually, there was a moment we would have chapel every Tuesday, and a lot of times what you'd have is you'd have somebody come in there and they want to shake things up, right? They want to wake these kids up. So they'd try to, like, interact, really, like, be like, son, what's your name? And I remember at one point, like, that happened. And, like, again, if you're going to pick anybody, it's like...
They asked him what his name was. He said, my name is Taylor Cock. And the guy said, Taylor...
Coke?
Coke.
And he's like...
You could tell he really didn't want to say it.
And he goes, Cock. It's Cock. Like, Cock. And they just... And it was just this unbelievable standoff where, like, we watched him. It was just like... It was like a movie scene. Like, or, like, you're watching a tennis match, like a ball volley back and forth where, like, you're watching him and then you're watching the reaction of the other person. And, like, again, he's in the right. That's his name. That's how you pronounce it. And, like, the guy clearly then at that point thinks, like, oh, this guy's getting one over on me. And I think actually somebody had to be like, I think a third party had to be like, it's actually Cock. Because I think the person was getting so frustrated. It's like, nah, man, you're not going to win this. Like, this is this guy's name. This is, you can't, there's nothing you can do about this, you know? You lose. Man, there was, speaking of Chapel, man, we had some doozies over the course of our, like, I would say that the, like, 80 to 90%, like, there's about 20% of the student body that, like, actually, like, is really into what's being presented. And I would say about 60% to 65% were, like, very disengaged, just whatever. And then I feel like we kind of fit into, like, a different, like, strange group where we were just looking for the weird things. And, like,
oh, yeah.
If something happened that was weird, I would try to find you. Like, it was just, like, it didn't matter where we were sitting in the auditorium. I would be like, ugh. Like, I would hear something that was weird or didn't make sense. Like, a lot of times, again, like, I feel like, and again, I do this too, right? If anybody's listening to the podcast and, like, his analogies make no sense. If you're thinking that when I give bizarre analogies, that's probably because, like, we were subjected to so many speakers who gave the worst analogies to try to, like, make it work from a, like, Christian faith standpoint, and they were so bad, like, that maybe, like, they sunk into my brain and, like, morphed my brain, but they were just being
God is like this ham sandwich and your spirituality is like your stomach. You gotta eat that ham sandwich via your mouth.
But sometimes, you know, you have a piece of cheese on there, and the cheese is your friends who are propping you up. But then you got something sour, a pickle, man. And those are the people trying to bring you down.
This sounds like a joke, but, like, it's not far off.
We had so many of those. And then again, it would be me or you just, like, looking. I'd be looking towards you. And my favorite was there were a couple of teachers who picked up on the fact that this was a thing that me and you would do. And I remember it was like, Steven Zedler would be like, stop it, stop. Like, because he would know. I'd be like, yes.
Well, okay, so I want to shift gears then.
Okay, yes.
So I was shift gears from this crazy.
That's me trying to shift a gear, by the way. I'm trying to.
You look, it looks like you've done it your whole life.
You know that I don't. You know that I valeted cars and did not know how to properly shift gears. You do this, right? I burn the hell out of people's clutches when I try to. Normally, I would tell them to park themselves if it was a manual. I mean, no one drives manuals. Like, I was like in the last bastion of manual cars. I feel like no one drives manuals anymore.
What's the percentage of people who did stick first manual?
It was probably one out of. It probably was one out of 40 cars. But the thing is, some of those like Porsches and those nice, like, you know, race cars,
yeah, very.
You know, the stick is sort of still the thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And it's a luxury, and it's something that people enjoy teaching themselves. And you know, they claim that, oh, you can actually shift manually faster than you. I don't think that's true anymore. But yeah.
I have a couple friends, married couple, and they say they won't drive anything but stick. Which is,
well, they're, you know what's crazy is they're a lot cheaper. Like, you'll save, like, if you were to look at a car that's manual versus automatic, I mean, no one buys them now. So you, I mean, in the US, so you could save like $7,000 or $8,000 on that exact same car if it was a manual. I promise you, it's crazy. But here's the other wild thing is in Europe, everybody still drives manual. Now that might have changed in the last few years, but like when I was over there, everybody knew how to drive manual. Like you couldn't find a car that was automatic. And then when I was back in France and we had people driving us around, I was probably between in 2 to 5 different cars, and every single one of them was stick.
Wow.
Sad. I actually took lessons with people to learn how to drive stick.
Did you find it difficult?
Oh, I couldn't do it, dude. I was so bad. Like, I was so, like, it was frustrating for me. It was frustrating for the person teaching me. Like, I was damaging the car. Like, at some point, like, you're hurting my car. This isn't, like, a fun exercise for anybody anymore. It's like, all right.
It sounds like what it's like when I try to teach my kid how to put a puzzle together. It's like, no. Start with the edges first. Start with the corners. And he still doesn't get the concept of it.
Dude, I was that way. So, like, there was a couple of moments. I thought I've talked about this before, so I apologize. But there was a couple moments where something got miscommunicated. And it was just me and the manual. And I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So, I remember one time I had to pull out someone's car and pick them up. And if you keep it neutral, like that's your safest bet. So like if you keep it neutral, like you can kind of keep it neutral to like kind of, because it will just kind of roll naturally. Really? So I get like a little bit of speed going. Like I'd be like jerking it in like first gear. And then I kind of like just roll. So like it was the saddest pickup. Imagine you're standing there to get your car from the valet.
Waiting for your car. This sad sack is walking it to you in neutral.
I tell you though, I did park a couple of that way where I had to like kind of push them in, which was pathetic. I did do that. But this was even worse where it was, I'm not joking. From the time they exited, like it was probably like 300 feet that I was driving this thing, right? Yeah. From the time they exited to me pulling up to them, it was probably like a good like 4 or 5 minutes of me just like going like half a mile an hour, like kind of like trying to use the gravity of the hill, the slight incline that I was on to move it so I didn't have to move it into first gear so I wouldn't jerk the heck out of the car. Because
did you say anything when you got out of the car?
Nope.
Did you get a tip?
Yeah, you know what? The cool thing about valeting is it was understood. Like it was more rare that you wouldn't get a tip than you would.
Mm-hmm.
Like you normally walked away with, at that time, I would say the average was $3 a car. But then you would get like there'd be people that throw you 20, there'd be people that throw you $40 and they would just park it on the side. What they want to do is they didn't want to be seen. So they would park their car right up next to the curb. It was a really nice thing at the time.
It was crazy. Yeah. Is that like, if you did that, say you did that in a nice restaurant. Like the other day, I had my car valeted at a nice restaurant. Yeah, we tipped, I don't know, maybe $5-6. If you're doing that for like, I don't know, six or seven hours, I mean, you can make some really good money just constantly. I mean, you can make more than a graphic designer makes.
But I was really bad at it. I'm not going to like, to the point where like I had to have a come to Jesus with the guy who's still a really close personal friend of mine who let me do it because I needed cash and I had no friends up here in Pennsylvania at the time. And he had a come to Jesus where he's like, hey man, you got to get better. You got to get better at this because you're so bad at it. And I was like, okay. And I got a little better at it. I mean, I was good enough that like, I wasn't, I wasn't hurting the team anymore. You know what I mean? I was good enough. I could help move things along, but I never had any crazy incidents outside of I almost ruined a Model 1 Tesla.
Oh man, yeah. I've heard Teslas are kind of hard, kind of weird.
Well, this was I'd never seen this before. This was like the first Tesla ever. Like it was like the first model to ever be rolled out, and the door handles went flush against the car, and I'd never seen that before. You know, and that's how they lock, right? So I'd never seen that. So you're like, you're looking at something, you're like, is this like an alien? What am I dealing with? And what had happened is somehow the car was on, it was stuck in neutral, and the person had kept it in neutral. I think I had like jumped in and jumped out or something weird happened. The car uses its self lock, and then it started slowly moving forward towards a highway.
Oh, no.
Not a highway, but a very, very, very busy road right by the King of Prussia Mall was where this was. And it was like, dude, it would have been... I mean, I would still be paying for that Tesla today. You know, I mean, it would have been terrible. And luckily, I had to jump in front of the car. I was like pushing it. I was like, this is going to go into the street. And it went a good like 12 or 13 feet. And finally, I like did something to it where it like... the car stopped moving, it like to put itself in the lock and then unlocked itself, and I was able to get in and park it and figure it out. But like it went into some like weird self-defense mode and then was stuck in neutral, and again we were at a strange slight angle so that it was rolling towards the main road where people would turn off to you know, to exit the steakhouse, and it would have been a disaster.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Do you mow your lawns? You don't strike me as a man who mows.
Yeah, I used to mow. I just recently stopped mowing. I was a mowing man for years.
Yeah, and you don't strike me as a man who you didn't mow your home growing up. Right?
No, my dad did. But my dad liked mowing. But I ran a little mowing company with Stephen Fitter.
Did you know this? Didn't.
I did. I promise you. Did you not know this?
No. Yes.
This
could not have lasted more than a couple weeks. There's no. You did not run a company with Stephen Fitter.
We had a man that we mowed his yard, and his name was Mr. Diggle.
Mr. Dickles?
Diggle, D-I-G-G-L-E, Mr. Diggle.
I would hardly call that an enterprise. Like, you're saying I owned a company, but here you are just mowing Mr. Diggle's lawn.
That was more of what it was. It was like, we had like four lawns that we would do together. That was it. We had like four or five lawns.
How do I not know about this?
I don't know. I guess it wasn't.
Right, when?
This was like 11th. This was like 11th grade, 11th or 12th grade, like junior, senior year. Do you feel like I betrayed you? Like I've lied to you?
No, but I don't know about Mr. Diggles. I don't know about you and Fitter having a business. Like, it is surprising.
I think it was just, I mean, and we just did a few lawns here and there. I think I only helped them out here and there, but yeah.
Did you just know, or did you trim Mr. Diggles' bushes?
I mowed, and I did a little bit of weed eating, but I don't think I'm very good at weed eating.
I can't see you doing. I can maybe see you mowing. I can't see you being a weed eating kind of a guy.
You know what? I've owned a weed eater for years, and I still don't think I really know what I'm doing, and I've been doing it for years. I've been weed eating for decades, and I keep thinking like I don't think I'm doing this right.
You've tapped into something that I feel like I've never questioned. So growing up, I remember in middle school learning how to write checks, right? You write like, you know, the amount, and then you do the cents over 100. And then they just said, just do a little squiggly line after that, right?
So, well, I have a confession. I didn't know how to write a check until my senior year of college.
You didn't know how to write a check?
I did not know how to write a check until to the point where I was the only person. We rented a house. We all rented a house in college. I would only pay in cash because I did not know how to write a check.
Wow. Who would you pay cash to?
I would pay cash to, like, there was one of us who would end up paying the landlord, right? So, like, I would, like, just give him cash. Like, I would, the one guy in our group that was, like, designated, like, you know, who was going to collect all the money, right? And I would just give him cash. I'm like, I don't know how to write a check, dude. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I'm looking at an example. This one just has a line, but it's like, where you write the full amount.
I'm a pro at writing checks now. I'm a pro now. So what I would say is what you do is you want to take up as much space as possible so that someone else could not potentially add additional value onto that, like to steal money.
But here's the deal. If you write $738.23, what is somebody going to put after that? Plus $2 million?
There's a lot of things in my life that I look at and I'm like, how did I even figure out how to do that? Because like I was so spoiled for so long by my parents. They would just do things for me and then it just stopped. And like that was it. And it was like such a, then I just moved to Dallas by myself. Like it was such a like harsh, like baby bird out of the nest moment, but it was really good for me.
You're so much more successful than me vocationally. Like you do very well for yourself. And I think like, I mean, what do I know? You know what I mean? Like I can't picture you do it working a weed eater, but I mean, maybe that doesn't matter.
I still barely. I mean, it is confusing though with the weed eater, right? It's got the two things, and you're thinking, am I supposed to put? You got the two hard pieces of plastic, and you're like, am I just chopping it off? Or like,
it's not always two. Basically, you use it to like get the hard to reach spots. You trim your edge with it.
I know, and then you like slam it down, and like it comes out. More comes out.
Yeah.
It's a very confusing machine.
Yeah. It's old school sometimes.
Yeah. And
I got a new one for Christmas. I'm very excited about it.
Well, congratulations. What, is it the plastic? Is it a different kind of technology?
It's a battery powered.
It's a string though. It's the stringies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You ever had one of those hit your leg?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not fun. Good.
No. Not fun. Not fun. No. Or they'll fly. They'll go rogue and fly off.
Yeah, they hurt.
Well, you got to wear the gogs, man.
Always. Yeah.
Anything else? Anything else weird going on in Tulsa?
No, it's just cold as butt out here.
It's cold as butt here too, dude. I think most of the country is cold as butt right now.
Yeah, it's very very cold. It's windy and cold.
Yeah, it is, dude. This is Old man Winter's getting his vengeance, baby.
Yeah.
He's a man who's out to.
This is really the first winter that I've been like, I want nothing to do with winter right now.
Yeah.
Usually I can tolerate it, but I'm just like, I don't want this right now.
Yeah. I think the older you get, I think it just always becomes that. I don't think you go backwards. All right, duties. Here's the mission. The mission is we want you to like, subscribe, share. You know what? Like, listen to it. Like, listen to it on YouTube, and then listen to us on Spotify, and then listen to us on Apple, and then like write a review. Like, please, like write a review, because like we used to have people write reviews, and then they just stopped writing reviews. So if you write reviews, then we can get the money people. We don't know who they are. We just call them the money people. The money people.
Yeah, the money people come out of the holes and they give us some money.
And they say, sell this razor. Or it's always a razor, right? It's always like
razor, mattress, or, you know, therapy.
Better health. Yeah, I don't know. Better health.
It'd be perfect for this podcast.
Better health would be because that's basically what we deliver.
Our whole demographic should essentially be, if you're crazy enough to listen to this, you definitely need better help.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you write a review, then maybe that will help
You can
encourage BetterHelp, and then we can give you a discount on BetterHelp.
That's how it works.
It's people helping people, better helping people.
Business. This is why they pay you the big bucks, man. So we want those podcast money people to come out of their holes and give us money.
Mm-hmm. They live in holes. I do know they live in holes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that. And the big thing is subscribe to whatever you listen to. That helps us a lot. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Love you.
Have a
great
week.
Keep doing it, guys. We're going to survive. I promise. We're all in this together, just like High School Musical. See you, duties.
Bye, everybody.